Hey, Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, senior editor with Plugged In.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Welcome to the April 8th, 2009 edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Today we've got more secrets for you from the Novacom saga.
Big secrets.
So big that we had to devote two whole podcasts to unearthing all of the mysteries.
But before we do any digging, here's the latest news. The Novacom saga is now available.
Didn't we announce this last time?
No, last time we said it was coming. Now we're saying it's available. Two very different things, Bob.
Got it. Anyway, this album is packed with bonus features, including an hour-long making-of documentary on the creation of the saga. This thing is in-depth, but there were a lot of interviews that didn't quite fit.
And so it's time for another edition of Random Secrets from the Novacom Saga That You Never Knew Existed and Can't Possibly Live Without.
Now, Jesse, last time you had a lot of crazy transitions to get us from one segment to another.
Those are a thing of the past. This time, everything makes perfect sense. It's going to flow like a raft on a raging river.
If you say so.
You know, these are things that you would never know unless you listen to the podcast.
Right.
And speaking of things you wouldn't know unless you listen to the podcast, let's talk about the actors.
I think I need to have a loose connection buzzer for this.
You know, here are Paul McCusker and Marshall Younger talking about how they got the guy who played Arthur Dent and how his schedule changed their plans for the show.
Christopher Snell is an actor that we worked with in England on the radio theater. Mm-hmm. He appears in Bonhoeffer and some of the others. And he divides his time between England and Los Angeles.
Well, speaking of Christopher Snell, I felt so sorry for him because I don't think even we had any idea of what we were going to do to this character by the end of this saga. Mm-hmm. Because he comes in as a sort of a mannered, polite British businessman, and then, you know, by the end he's going, Wethaka, you have to help me.
He sounds like
he's
the Elephant
totally
Man.
Totally insane.
Well, it's do you remember though? Part of it was really his own fault because he was not available to us. I think we reached some points where we wanted to record some things, and he'd gone back to London. So here we had major plot things that needed to be taken care of, and the actor was not available. And actors, beware. If you aren't available to us, there are a lot of things we will do to your character when you're not around, and then you have to live with it when you come back.
Right.
So I think that's what had happened. So in Grand Opening, we had this scene that we were going to do with Arthur Dent, but Chris was not available.
Right.
So we then had to essentially replace him. So suddenly there's a scene where Mitch goes in to talk to Arthur Dent, and Arthur Dent's not there.
Right.
There's this Mr. Charles. Mm-hmm. And we introduce that character then, who becomes even more important. But again, we really are leeches as writers, because we will suck any opportunity,
exactly,
the blood out of it without even blinking.
This can't be the only time their plans for the series changed. Do we have any more segments about that?
Very smooth, Bob. You're catching on. You know, actually, this next part is about the WE, which introduced a story element that didn't quite work the way they planned.
It was the first introduction of the possibility there could be a second Wits End, which caused problems eventually. Because we didn't know what to do with this thing. But at the time, it seemed like a good idea. But it ended up being, we've come to use the phrase the Timothy Center effect. Mm-hmm. Because we introduced the Timothy Center in a show called Malachi's Message.
Mm-hmm.
And then we barely used it after that.
You know, well,
we had
funny.
This device.
Any long-term show, I mean, if you read Peanuts, a long-term comic strip, and you can see where Charles Schulz experimented, and he would move into certain phases and do certain things with various characters or introduce various characters, and then they'd sort of fade away because he realized the limitations. Basically, what we're doing with Odyssey, we're very often experimenting in a very public way. We don't go off back into our offices and sort of create these things and then listen to them ourselves and say, will that work or not?
Well, do you remember Beavers?
Yes.
The Bible thing.
That's right. The Bible. I can't even remember what it stands for. The Bible Expositional Attitude. Cleaver.
But it's this computer thing that helped people remember the Bible. And then we used it in one, maybe two shows.
And we probably forgot about it. But that's the nature of a show. You don't have 650 episodes and over a 20-year period and not give yourself room to play. The interesting thing to me about both the Timothy Center and Wits End Connellsville is there's a common denominator between the two of them. Both of them were our attempt to figure out how to deal with what we might call more urban issues.
Mm-hmm.
The original idea for Timothy Center this was a place where kids from the city could come and experience the country. And then through that, Tom and whoever was working there would engage with these kids.
Yeah.
And we'd get a glimpse of children's lives outside of the Odyssey norm.
Right. And we started out with that in the show Best Laid Plans.
That's right.
Because we had
So there's that whole dynamic. Well, it's interesting because when you listen to the Novacom series, there is an urban element to the Wits End Connellsville. We even introduce some characters who are working behind the scenes and the brother and sister who are kind of living in this part of the building and
that's
homeless.
Right.
And we're touching on the stuff without it necessarily tainting the reality of Odyssey. Well, Connellsville sort of became the big bad city for us, which is no reflection, by the way, on the real Connellsville in Pennsylvania. No reflection. It's just a name. Just wanted to make that clear to my family who live in Connellsville. So the common denominator, I think, for us is that here we are kind of middle-class suburban guys writing for this show. And when it came down to the passion to deal with what might be called the inner city urban issue reality, we were either uncomfortable introducing that into an ongoing way for Odyssey, or it was just so far out of our normal experience that we weren't quite sure how to deal with it anyway. So I think that's why those rabbit trails led us nowhere. We just didn't know what to do with them ultimately. So we introduce an idea and then ultimately have to drop it again.
Speaking of dropping an idea. Sorry, I didn't know where to go with that.
You just don't have the art yet. How about this? Speaking of the inner city, there's a Novacom scene in downtown Chicago. Let's hear a trivia point about that scene from writer Marshall Younger.
Beautiful.
Throughout the Novacom saga, we brought back some of the old characters. And one of the people that we brought back was David Griffin, who played Jimmy. And so we brought him back and we put him in this role as a cab driver in Plan B. And it was really funny because he put on this accent and I don't know that anybody really noticed that it was Jimmy Barkley driving this cab. But if you listen really closely, you can kind of hear it a little bit.
Is it much farther, driver?
Nope. Hey, you got an appointment, pal?
Yes, I'm supposed to meet someone at 5:30.
Hey, no problem. It's just around the corner. There it is, the Andromeda building.
Could you let me off by the alleyway?
The alley. Don't you want to go to the front door?
No. This is fine. Near the dumpster.
Oh, all right. You're the customer.
I can't wait to see how you're going to transition to this next one.
Watch this. Speaking of stories from the Novacom saga.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet you weren't expecting that one. But speaking of stories from the Novacom saga, we've got writer Nathan Hubler talking with sound designer Rob Jorgensen.
I had a small part of writing the last shows of the Novacom saga, and I remember when we were meeting about it, we said, what is this going to come down to? What is the big climax of it all? Because we can't have Darkness Before Dawn ended with Blaggard and Jack kind of having this supernatural, spiritual discussion under Wits End, which was really, really dramatic, and we knew we couldn't come down to that again. So we talked about it, and we said, well, it's the imagination station melting down. And that didn't seem like enough, you know, like after all these shows for it to lead up to the imagination station melting down. And Paul McCusker came up with the idea, well, while it's melting down, it actually cycles through all the episodes that we've done in the imagination station. And I remember Marshall really latching onto that, but also writing in the script, dear sound designers, this is not my idea, because we knew how much time it was going to take to put that together. So
right.
I went through all the Imagination Station shows and pulled clips of just little iconic moments from there, mm-hmm. and put that all together in a session. And Rob, you took it from there.
Yeah, I remember that very specifically because I didn't want to do all of that work going back and finding the original tapes and pulling the scenes in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very thankful that you did that. And then once we got it in, each of those bits, you know, playing with them and speeding them up and putting little effects here and there to make it sound like the computer was going crazy, was really fun because it was really a history of the show. So that That's was right. really fun to do. And then as it all shut down, I remember that being a challenge to make it sound like all of this, you know, the sound effects of the Imagination Station that are so iconic, the shaking of the Imagination Station, then having that slowly,
right.
Power down was really a challenge.
Another fun thing I like about that sequence, you're talking about it's the history of the show. You get to hear a few people who aren't on the show anymore. You got to hear Hal Smith in there doing a few different voices.
Right.
And so that was kind of a nice look back at the end of Novacom.
Nothing's happening, Whit. 5 seconds.
Press the red button and get out of there.
Why are you
come up with my own way?
The Tower of Babel. You couldn't kill me.
I'm John.
John the Bat. John the Bat.
I have no belief.
Much to be much to be
Thomas Alva Edison.
Even now, this little one is changing lives.
And speaking of the end of Novacom, I think it's about time we ended our look back at the Novacom saga.
Don't forget, if you want to hear even more about the creation of Novacom and hear each and every show that was part of this huge story, be sure to check out the Novacom Saga package. You can find more details on our website.
Thanks for listening to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. And remember, with God in your life, every day is an adventure.